Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Finding Fulfillment Together podcast. I'm very excited about today. I have a guest on, and her name is Gina Britton, and I found her on YouTube. When I very first got saved, I was just Googling, other testimonies of people that went from New Age to Jesus. And one of the first people I found was Gina. And her testimony just absolutely melted my heart because it hit on everything that I had been through. And her just sharing her love for Jesus and how her world was completely flipped upside down. I just was so excited to hear that, to know that there's someone else that was going through when I was going through. And I went ahead and reached out to her and asked her to join us today, and she agreed. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining, Gina. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
So what I want this to mainly focus on is you sharing your testimony and telling everyone. I know you've already shared your testimony on your channel, but allowing the people that are listening here to hear your story too. I think it's super important for us to do that, for us to tell as many people as we can, so that those who are still being deceived or those who are just trying to figure out their faith don't go down the wrong path. I really appreciate you being open and bold and courageous and, a sister in Christ. So I want to give you another platform to share your story. So
Thank
thank you
you.
again.
Thank you.
So let's dive in. Let's just start. I would love to start with your childhood. So, growing up, what was your faith, in your childhood slash teens or 20s?
So growing up, we went to church on Sundays until I was in about fifth grade, and then we stopped because I was a competitive gymnast, and I would compete on the weekends, and my family just kind of quit going. So that stopped my whole everything about church. I just never went again. Those girls and I would do, I was recalling the gymnastics friends, we would do the Ouija board at slumber parties. So I remember doing that very young, and I remember it working. We were all, it would be like, who's moving it? What's going on? But it was moving itself. We would also have seances, which we didn't know what we were doing, and we were being silly, and we were young, like preteens and young teens, but that's still dangerous. And even though we didn't know what we were doing, they were alerted. Like the demons were alerted to us being there and trying to summon them. So we did that. And when I got into high school, I had a boyfriend who was very spiritual. Those concepts, he really helped open me up to them. His mom was psychic and his aunt was psychic, and they talked about it in a really like quiet way. Like we weren't supposed to talk about it. They're like an upper middle class family, and it was very hush hush, but it was very alluring to me, and I was interested in it. And so he really opened my eyes to the parts of the world that I didn't know, like the concepts I wasn't aware of. But I was very fascinated. So we would practice telepathy on each other, and that worked. And he was big into energy, and I that back then, this was like in the 90s, no one really talked about energy. I know that's a very, very big word right now, but back then I wasn't familiar with the concept, so he would tell me about that. Then when I the day after my 20th birthday, he killed himself, and then his mom and I clung together, and just we visited mediums, and we were so heartbroken. And actually, I've never talked about that publicly, but after that happened, a lot of, I thought he was haunting me, but a lot of paranormal activity happened in my house, stuff that my mom witnessed, people in the house witnessed. And now, being a Christian, I realize it wasn't him that I thought it was, but I think the enemy was really trying to get hold of me, because we opened the doors, we were going to mediums. She was psychic. Now we were going to mediums, and now she became a medium because she wanted to connect with him so desperately. She became a medium. So like I just got further into all of that world. And so that really hooked me. And then I started reading a lot of like New Age books back then. One was called The Journey of Souls, which was about reincarnation. And we just always try to contact him. And so that happened. And at that time too, it took me down a really dark, after he died, I got really heavy into like addiction and to pills and alcohol. And that was part of my story too. So yeah, I was just always very drawn to it. He helped open me up to it. His family, she would tell me too, his mom, when he was alive, she would say, "You have spiritual gifts and you need to figure out what they are and like hone in on them." And I remember thinking I wanted to, but like, how do you do that? I don't even know like how to do that. And she has since passed away. And I really always wanted, and then when I did become psychic and like in the last couple of years, when I was really deep in the occult, I really wanted to talk to her, like, what did you mean? And like, tell me about it. But yeah, so that family actually, and that experience with him dying and everything really solidified me on the new age path in a very substantial way. And I wasn't in church, so all those thoughts could run wild in my head and they took root. I remember my brother was telling me at the time, "You guys shouldn't go to mediums and that's a sin." And I was like, "Whatever. They know what they're saying." And he would try to warn me. It was in the Bible, he's against it, but I was very I really was not hearing it. I was not having, that. So
So your
that's
brother
kind
was
of awesome.
Christian? Is your
Yes.
brother
Yeah.
Christian?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And what about your
Yes.
parents? So I know you said you had gone to church as a child. Like, were they Christian or are they?
So they are Christian and they were born again because we stopped in fifth grade because my gymnastics, they started going again in my early 20s and they found a church. I would attend with them because after my boyfriend died, I was in a dark place and I was open to Christ. And so I would go with them. And there was actually a couple months in my early 20s where I was really radically saved. I remember I just cried out to Jesus. I felt saved. I was on fire for him. But then I just fell away and back into the world. Plus, I don't know, I never read the Bible or anything, but I did feel like something, like the Holy Spirit was in me. But then, yeah, I'm not sure what happened. But so, yeah, I would go in and out of church with them and I was open to it, but also I wasn't open to hearing anything about what I was doing was wrong. So I was open to my brand of spirituality. Like if it jived with what I was thinking, then we were good. So like
So I want
that.
to ask a little bit because I definitely believe in what you're saying, how what we do in this world opens portals for demonic forces to come in to control our minds, to potentially even possess our bodies. So I just want to kind of hear your thoughts on that, on how like the Ouija board and medium, trying to become a medium and contacting spirits, like how that opens us up.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it did that at the time, but looking back now, knowing what I know and how the spiritual realm operates, they definitely were using that to gain access to us. Even at, I mean, they don't leave children alone because you're a child. I mean, everyone's fair game to the enemy. So even though we were innocently playing with the Ouija board or doing seances when we were like 12, the enemy was definitely there and definitely attached to us because I didn't have the blood of Christ. I wasn't saved. I didn't know about that it was wrong. I mean, it was so, no one told us it was wrong. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely when you open those doors, like when you're in the occult and everything, you do open the doors and it's very real and they do attach to you and there's different kinds of oppression. And later, when I was really into it, they definitely attached and like oppressed, like it was like my mind. And I don't know, I never thought about what kind of oppression I experienced early on, but I guess it was just everything. I was like in a dark place. I was an addict, alcoholic. Like, so my whole life just seemed a mess. So I guess I couldn't pinpoint anything. Whereas later, when I got into it, I could definitely see it was like highlighted which area was, attacked.
And I mean, in this world, I just feel what I'm realizing now, and I just keep thinking about this so much now that my eyes have been open to all of this, is that it is just the enemy is everywhere. And we are so desensitized and everything is normalized. I mean, there's, sex symbols everywhere you look. Every movie is based on something sinful, and we just consume it like it's nothing as children, as teenagers, and that is just allowing the enemy to just control our mind from such a young age. And it's so funny, right? Because I look back at kind of how I used to look at Christians. and how I used to look at people that went to church all the time, and I was just like, oh, they're weird, like they're so good, like, oh, that girl's never had a drink before, and
Like
it's just,
the
yeah, right. And I think you did a you put a video out about this, how like you think that being Christian is going to be boring. And you really do view it that way. And that's because of how we are desensitized all, throughout our whole lives,
orange.
It really
Yes.
shocks me.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot, and I have to remind myself sometimes when, because I do feel set apart, and we're supposed to feel set apart. Like, I feel very other from the world right now because, like you said, it's everywhere. I mean, being a Christian is very cultural, and I have to remind myself that it's an honor to be. Because when I look at the world now with these new spiritual eyes, like, I don't want any part of that. I've tried all that. That doesn't lead to fulfillment. And so I just think it's an honor. But being a Christian is very countercultural and very counterculture. And I think that's okay. I'm learning that we're set apart, and the gate is narrow. But yeah, it's amazing how everything looks when you see it for the truth. How everything. I went into the library a couple months ago, and I was like, I can't even read anything. Like, even the cookbooks were like about, like, somehow they worked in energy, and like, why can't you even read anything
I know.
anymore?
And I do feel like it's getting worse and worse as time goes on, because I remember as a child, I have them, I remember feeling like ashamed that I didn't believe in God, and I didn't want to say that out loud, or that I didn't have a religion. And now it's like, oh yeah, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Like, it's so normal to say you're not religious or you don't believe in one God, and people are weird that do believe in one God. And it's like everything is just shifted to be so supportive of the enemy's plan, of the enemy's plot. And it's just like, it's now that I am on the other side of it, it's just shocking. And I feel so sad for kids that are growing up. And you have kids, right?
Yes, two teenage daughters.
Yeah. And like, it's, you really kind of have to keep them protected. It's like you have to put this little bubble around them and make sure that they're always praying and, keeping Jesus at the center of everything.
Right. And I told them before I was a Christian, I raised them in a very progressive, worldly views. And now I had to, like, when I became a Christian, I'm like, oh, scratch all that. Like, hold on. Like, we have to. And luckily they're saved, and
Oh,
they're
good.
very open to, to Jesus, and they're okay with being set apart too. It's like they see it now too, and
Oh,
I point
good.
stuff to them when I see it, but I just, like, we all like Taylor Swift, and like, her stuff is so of the other agenda, and yeah. But I mean, and they target, that's, it's just like the cool spirituality. It's like, that's the one.
Exactly. And even I was just having a conversation the other day about Katy Perry, who grew up, religious, and even has, I think, a tattoo of Jesus on her wrist, and then had this song come out that I kissed a girl and I liked it, and that blew up. And I'm sure, more and more demonic forces, joined her all around her to take her further and further away from Jesus. And I think that happens so much in entertainment, in whether it's Hollywood or music. And these, idols are created for these children that are demonic. And
Yes.
I feel
Yeah.
crazy saying these things out loud. I truly still do, because, but it's the
Truth.
truth.
It's
Yeah, it's
truth.
the truth. We both said that at the same time. It's the
Yes.
truth. So anyway, I want to hear more about, so you had this relationship, this, your boyfriend's mother, became a medium. You kind of were really involved in all of that. So how did you get deeper and deeper into New Age? Because I believe you became like a psychic, correct?
Yes. So that happened, and then in my mid to late 20s, I worked in a cubicle, and I, like, had my headphones on, because podcasts didn't exist back then. So I tapped into Hay House Radio, which is the biggest New Age publisher of books. I like tapped into their internet channel somehow, like, back before podcasts. And every New Age guru and every New Age teacher had a show, and so all day long for all those years, I just would listen to Hay House Radio all day long. And each guru had the show, they'd have guests on, they talk about their beliefs, and I just indoctrinated myself, like hardcore indoctrinated myself, and I was fascinated. I had a favorite guru. His name was Dr. Wayne Dyer, and he was super big on harnessing your intention and like whatever you put your intention on, that's what will manifest. You have to be it to see it. And I liked that. I was like, ooh, I like, there's something to that. I like it. And so I indoctrinated myself, not realizing that's what I was doing. After that, I had my first child. I was married. We were going in and out of church. And for a while, I think I was there for 2 years. And my husband and I even taught Sunday school. But I couldn't really find Christ. Like I was there and I would even like cry. Like the Holy Spirit would move me. I would cry maybe from when I was saved in my early 20s. But my mind was just set on the law of attraction, that intent. I just was like, I need to know. Like, I think there's something to it. And I was very fascinated by, more fascinated by that than what I was receiving at church. That seemed kind of boring.
And I think you just
So.
put out a video recently where you're, t or maybe it was a couple months ago, about talk being double-minded, right?
Yeah.
And this is probably the part of your life where you were pretty double-minded, right?
Yes, always, because I always wanted to blend and find my own way. I didn't want to like go into all of Christianity, or maybe I wanted to go into all the New Age. I don't know, but I just wanted to find my own way. And New Age, you can do that. Anything goes. You can do whatever you want. As long as it's not Jesus, sure, whatever you want to do. So I was big on just finding what worked for me. And actually, at that time, it reminded me when you said that. I don't know, prosperity gospel. I got into that when I was in church. I'm like, well, I don't really like what I'm hearing at church, but Joel Osteen, oh gosh, he was like a prosperity gospel person, which fit perfect into the New Age because it's not real Christianity. It's like law of attraction, the New Age blended with Christianity. And so I kind of fell into that a little bit because. Yeah, and I remember telling my mom that works for me. That's why. And she's like, well, people would tell me you have to believe the whole Bible. I'm like, no way. No way. Like, who could do that? So yeah, I just trying, but
It's so funny, right? Like I started reading the Bible a year ago, from a suggestion from a friend, and I did not believe what I was reading. I was judging it. I was judging it. And I was like, there's no way this is literal. And then when you become a believer, when you finally take that step, it's like, oh my gosh, it's all true. And everything's in one book, all the answers, where we were going down all these different paths, right? Looking for the truth, looking for the answers. And oh, I like that. And I like that. And you put it all together, like you were saying, with New Age, you can kind of pick from wherever you want. And you never find the fulfillment. You never find the true peace. You're just like still trying to figure it out, figure it out, figure it out. And then the moment that you finally accept the truth that the Bible is the word of God and that Jesus was telling us the truth, it's just, it all comes together and it's just peace, right?
Yes. That's funny you say that because when you read it with the Holy Spirit, it's a whole different experience. It comes alive. It's reading you. Like it became this because I part of the reason I want to stay in the New Age, I was like, I don't want to leave all this magic. It's so magical. And I didn't know that reading the Bible could feel supernatural and because the Holy Spirit makes it. And I've heard it said since. People who read it, like when you read it, when you weren't a believer, you were judging it was boring. But when you have Holy Spirit, then the mysteries of the gospel are revealed, and I can feel them being revealed. And it's just those, it's spiritual in the right way, but I didn't ha know that would happen. So I'm very, it's just not boring. It's not boring at all.
I know. It still blows my mind that like I'm reading John again right now because it's just like it's so good, the Gospel of John. And it's just like I keep rereading the same lines over and over and over because it's just like, wow. Like it's all right there. It's so clear. Like he didn't mask it. And it when you read it again without the Holy Spirit, you don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. But with the Holy Spirit, it's just like, oh my gosh, this has been here
Yeah.
all along.
I loved that too. I love that. That was such a surprise. I'm like, oh, so cool. Yeah. It reads you.
Unbelievable. Super cool stuff. I do want to talk a little bit about manifestation, right? Because that is so big today. And really going back to, I feel like early 2000s, I don't know, whenever the book The Secret came out.
Oh yeah.
I know, I read that. Everyone was talking about it. I had my vision board made and I said, if I focus on this and I think about this every day and I believe it to be true, it will be true. And what's wild about that, right, is it works. So people that believe in it are like, well, yeah, it works. I'm going to keep doing that. And it is the perfect plot of the devil, of Satan, because they're watching, they're listening. They know what you want. And if you believe that you can make it happen without Jesus, without God, that gives you the power. So yeah, if you keep saying, I want a big blue house with a red door, and you picture it and you picture it and you picture it, you say it out loud, you say it out loud, you put it on your vision board, then the enemy is going to say, here you go, here's your big blue house with the red door. Now you believe you're God and you don't need Jesus.
Right,
Right?
right. And it does work. It can
Yeah.
people if it doesn't work, I'm like, it most certainly does. I did it. It works. And it
Yeah.
does make you the God of your life instead of you're subverting God's will. And it comes with a price. It comes with pain, where when God gives you blessings, there's no pain attached. But every time I manifested things, and I manifested a lot of stuff, like a lot of stuff, and at the price of my sanity. So every time I manifested, there was a price I had to pay up. And while not realizing that's what was happening, I didn't know. I had that veil over my eyes. I didn't realize there was a price for it. But every time, I manifested, and I did, I learned. I really just solidified with all of it, like my rituals, and I wanted to know, like, is this real? And I really went all in, and like I didn't want a 9-to-5 job because I'm a personal trainer, and it's kind of like, your schedule's a little lenient, and I wanted to keep that without having to like go back and sit in a cubicle,
Yep.
And so I was like, I'm gonna just figure this out, and I did, but at the price of my sanity and my soul. Was it prosper you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? That's what you're
Yeah.
doing when you do
Right.
it.
Exactly. Gain the whole world, but lose your soul. That is so good. That's true. It's so true. And it's exactly what the enemy wants. You just fall right into their hands. It's wow. Man, okay, so you became basically a full-on psychic. So were you like taking clients?
I wasn't. So I became psychic, and the way it happened for me was, in the new age, it's workspace and you keep healing. I just kept doing all this healing work and all this like energy work, and I was always doing rituals, and I mean, I got obsessive with all of it. And as I healed, and it's all about how you ascend. And as you ascend, you're becoming more like Christ consciousness and the frequency of love. And then you just can manifest out of that so easily. You don't have to try because you're just vibrating with that. And as I was healing, it was like I was ascending. And it was like my chakras were opening, like, and that spirituality, that's what, they say. So as that was happening, so my third eye opened very easily. And that came with gifts. I received a lot of information that way. But then when my crown chakra opened, I wasn't trying to do it, but when it opened, I knew it opened. I felt it. It tingled. I had to wear hats. I got information all the time. And so at that time, I had to really figure out what to do with it and how to manage it because it was kind of out of control. And they're like, you can just train, you have a team and you can train them. So I went and I kind of trained them. And if there were certain things that were happening, I would tell them, I don't like that. Stop. And they would stop it. They would take it away. And I'm like, I'm listening. And
Like a
then
spiritual team, right? You had a spiritual team? Yeah. Wow.
And they said you could train them. So I just spent so much time with them. Sounds so crazy. But I did train them because I wanted, and I was just solidifying with them more and more. And the more I worked with them, the more powerful they became through me.
Wow.
And which disconnected me more from reality, but they did become, and I could manifest and I could know anything I wanted. And that was hard to leave the new age too, because I liked that gift. But I wasn't supposed to know that stuff. I didn't have the authority for it. But I didn't have clients, and actually, I wanted to start to monetize all my occult knowledge. I had developed a manifestation technique that I've spent a lot of time developing, and it worked because like I can manifest money really easily. And who doesn't want to do that? And so I really wanted to go on and make a YouTube channel and start to like be a spiritual teacher for other people. And I thought it was empowering for them, and I wanted to help them to create whatever life they want. And as I was doing that, I would pray about it all the time. Or plus, I always got psychic information. I could never get an answer. Never, ever, ever. I feel like my team or the universe was never like speaking to me, saying, hone in on this part or do this. It was always like just nothing. And one day I got a flash, like I finally found, like finally something came to me, and it was a flash of me sitting at my kitchen table doing YouTube videos for Jesus. And I was like, what is that? I was like, no way. Like, but that's what God actually like showed me, like, I'm not giving you this vision. Like, you're not, because I wasn't supposed to go on and monetize that. I wasn't supposed to help the enemy. I was supposed to come out of the darkness and expose the darkness.
Yes,
So yeah, but I wasn't
exactly.
ready for that vision. I was like, what is that? Like, no way. And I thought I was so far in. I'm like, I could never come out. Like, I spent all this time convincing everyone around me how okay it was. I'm like, now if I come out, now I have to,
Yeah.
like, sorry.
I get that so much because this channel, I mean, my podcast started with me talking about New Age spirituality. And feeling like I was helping other people to create their lives, and to find fulfillment within themselves. And that's what I talked about. And, the episodes are all still out there. My first 28 episodes are all on my New Age spirituality. But it's really interesting because I look back now and I'm like, I just got this calling to start a podcast, and I know nothing. I bought a microphone and started talking at my computer like I'm doing now, And I just started to share and share, but little did I know that Jesus was going to save me and that I'd be here talking for him, speaking the word of God. Like I believe he was preparing me for this moment all along. To talk about the deception, So yeah, I completely understand that. And it's really beautiful, how he can turn something good, from bad to good,
Yes. And thank
Yeah.
goodness that I just feel so purposeful to go and try to help the other people, to expose the darkness, to expose it for what it is.
Right. And the
And now
fact
that we
that
know, we have to.
right, and the fact that we've experienced it, right? So we know how good it feels and how powerful it feels and how empowered you are by it. And now we can speak to that, but also speak to how it's fake and how amazingly different it is when you accept the truth and when you have Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's just everything you've been searching for is right there in the Bible.
Right. Because it's all counterfeit. It's all counterfeit. It's like the dark shadow aspect of Christianity, and it's branded as so positive, like the manifestations and all that. That just seems so positive. Like, who doesn't want to like follow their heart?
And I talk about that a lot because there's that scripture that's, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. And it is so true because, similar to you, it was so hard for me to let go of those beliefs of, because it's all so good and positive and I'm getting everything I want and I'm feeling good. Like, meditation makes me feel amazing and I'm connecting. I can feel my chakras aligning. I'm raising my consciousness. All the things that I'm setting out to do, I'm accomplishing it. So when I had that dream where Jesus came to me and told me, Jesus, well, really, it was the way I word it is God was speaking to me and told me, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. When I got that message, I was like, no, that can't be. I've had this channel where I'm talking about all these other things and I've been having all these experiences that are real. That can't be, and I resisted it. Until the moment where I finally surrendered. And then now I see the truth. The veil has been removed, right? And it's just like, man, like how did I not see this?
Well, that veil can be so blinding. It's like it's all right there for us, but we can't see it.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
that's
amazing.
amazing.
Yeah, really. Okay, so I want to talk to you more about the demonic forces that ended up that you really invited in, right, by doing all the practices that you were doing. And then you started to see that really come to life where you were seeing things happen in your home that were clearly demonic, right?
Yeah, so I was in the occult and I was just loving learning all the hidden aspects of the universe, like all the hidden secrets. I wanted to know them all. And so I was super big on the universal laws, the 12 universal laws. So I was in the occult, but I never did spells. And I just felt like I needed to do a spell to kind of almost see, to test it, to test everything. And I did do a spell and it was just on Pinterest, which seems so innocent, but it's not. So I did a spell and it was not white magic and it was measurable and I super regret it, but I just knew it would be like a test. And so I did it and it was an intention spell. I didn't have ingredients. There was nothing. I didn't have to. I know some spells you like put stuff together, but it was just using the power of my mind and my intention, which I was big on anyway. That was my main force of creating things in my life and manifesting. So I was doing that on my couch. And at the height of the spell, at the height of my intention, a glass in my sink just burst. And I got really scared. My husband was in the kitchen, so he witnessed it bursting, and he didn't know why it burst, and I knew why it burst, but I didn't know what made it burst. I thought I did it with my mind, and then I was like, no, a demon's there. And the more I'm understanding spiritual laws, spiritual principles, I know now that that was the moment. All the unclean spirits and demonic forces could, I just gave them legal rights. And it was like, hello, like they entered my home. And because after that, stuff happened all the time. That was like the start of it. And I was in the occult. And so, of course, I had demonic oppression and everything. But when I went a little darker and did like that spell, it was like free game for them. I mean, there was, I don't know, I had no protection. I don't know if before I was maybe protected a little bit, but yeah, dark stuff, like a lot of stuff started happening. And my daughter, I told her she was psychic, and my youngest daughter, and stuff happened to her. She would hold glasses and they would burst and she would bleed, and things were appearing in her room, things were in my room. Monitoring spirits were everywhere because they were watching us and checking on us. Now we were theirs, and they were reporting back and seeing how they could ruin our life and watching us. And I couldn't even like walk in a dark hallway at that time. I'd be so scared. So I was like, I was being watched. And now I can. Now I'm just like, there's like a long hallway to go to my bedroom. And now I could just walk with such freedom. Back then I'd be like, or I'd take my smudge, my sage, and I would walk. Like, so I was like fighting the demons with, the demons. Yeah. But that was just very scary, and it got dark, and it got dark from just an innocent spell on Pinterest. And that's why, I mean, there's books that are aimed towards teenagers to do spells. And even if it's white magic, you are allowing and giving legal rights to the demons. That is a huge door that you don't want to open.
Absolutely. Well, I remember you also mentioned that while you were doing some of these practices and you started to feel these demonic forces, you decided to start calling on Jesus to like protect the sessions or whatever it is that you were getting into, right?
Yes.
So how
So,
did that
because
go?
I was looking for the answer when that was happening in my house, I kept looking for the answer in the spiritual community. And all the stuff they were telling me to do, like smudging and black crystals and envisioning white light and like certain prayers and selenite wand, just saw everything they were telling me to do, I was doing, and it wasn't stopping. But I kept searching within the community, and they don't say Jesus's name in the spiritual community because obviously the demonic attachments on them want nothing to do with it. So I kept like looking and searching like for the answer. And of course, I don't know. I eventually Googled it, I guess. I can't really remember, but I came across that Jesus's name, is what does it. And I don't know. I really honestly prayed over my house. I wasn't using it like a just I don't know. I felt like I was being respectful of his name, and I really prayed earnestly. And when I did that, it did stop. And so then I always used his name. And then but I wasn't, I just didn't want to leave the call. I just didn't want to leave all the fun, magical gifts that I thought were fun, but really I was like out of my mind. So then I just started to try to, blend it. I just started to, I knew at some level that Jesus's name is needed to protect me. And when I was doing all the dark stuff, but, I wasn't ready to leave. So I just tried to blend it, which made me even more double-minded. And because I would pray before my tarot readings for Jesus to protect me, and something inside me would be like, I don't know a lot, but I think this might be, I don't know if this is right.
So you kind of had this gut feeling like it didn't feel right, which was probably, the Holy Spirit having you have that feeling or realize that that didn't fit. 'Cause there is scripture that says, you can't drink from the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. So it's not going to feel right, So okay, now I want to hear, how were you saved? What was the moment like, or what was the transition like, and what brought you to where to this truth that you know now?
It's funny you said that scripture because that's the one that saved me.
No
That's the one. Yes, because so when I was praying to Jesus, but still doing all my occultic things, I started getting so double-minded. My spirit got so disturbed near the end, where I almost felt like I was going to have a psychotic break. I didn't know what was happening. But, I went on medication for OCD because I couldn't control my mind anymore. I was like really obsessive. And of course, to me, I thought the answer was to add more rituals in. And so that just made me more disconnected from the truth. But I would go out. I have a walking path in front of my house, and I would go out and earnestly pray. Like I would honestly ask God, like, please just reveal the truth to me. I really don't know. Like, am I doing something wrong? Because my heart wasn't settled about using Jesus's name. I, like you said, it's the Holy Spirit. It wasn't settled. And I would honestly like pray about it, and I feel like he was preparing my heart to receive the truth, because then things started happening. There was a tarot reader I had a reading from, and she was telling me things that would destroy my life, like some advice that would really destroy my life and my family. And I would go out on walks, this is the very end before I was saved, and pray about that. And God showed me her turning into a serpent and then back into herself in my mind's eye. Ooh, and I just got chills, but he was showing me like, this is not from me. And like, it all just kind of started like clicking. I really felt like I was going to have a psychotic break, because my life, I could just feel it was getting really wobbly and unsure. Like you said, I wasn't, it's our whole belief system, would be turned upside down. So that happened with her turning to a serpent. And then not long after, well, a couple of months before that, a Witch to Jesus video came on, a testimony video, and it just like jailbroke my algorithm. And I was like, what in the world is this? And she said, everything you do, you're picking up demons. And that stuck with me. I thought it was stupid and I didn't believe her, but it stuck with me. And eventually another woman just came on, and this was a video about Beyonce, how God's mad at her. And I just clicked on to watch it, and I didn't know I was about to be, I didn't know Jesus was about to, grab me and convict me. But the way, like everything this woman said, and she said that scripture about drinking from the cup of God and cup of demons, you can't mix the holy and the profane. And that's what I specifically needed to hear, because that's what I was doing. And then she said some other things that Beyonce was doing. I'm like, do that too. And I was just convicted all over the place. I almost fell down in my kitchen, and I was just in a crisis. Like all of a sudden, I feel like my whole, I don't know. I knew the truth, but I was instantly in a crisis, because like the spell came off my eyes, the veil came off, the spell was broke. And then instantly all those demonic attachments like attacked me. And yeah, so it was very bumpy, but it was so powerful. I mean, everything, I just knew. I didn't know what being convicted felt like, but it's like I was just grabbed and was revealed.
And that moment, I know what you're saying, because it's scary. You know, it's really scary to take that step, but once you do, you just can't go back. You can't unknow what you know. And it really is, he just opens your eyes and says, "This is the truth." And then everything floods in. For me anyway, the information just started flooding in, whether it was, from the Bible itself or from listening to sermons or listening to podcasts or watching YouTube videos like yours. It was just like everything was, the truth just kept flowing in and then was confirmed, confirmed, confirmed. And, it's just so clear that everything else is counterfeit.
Yes, that's how it was with me. Then it was so obvious and apparent, and I knew without a doubt what the truth was, and I also couldn't get enough of it. I just could not get enough of like sermons and just re I just was on fire for the Lord. It just was all consuming.
And I mean, I'm one of those people that wants to dive into whatever it is that I do, right? So I did feel that way with wanting to read as much as I could about spiritual things and all the new age and the occult stuff. But it was always like, is this true? Is that true? I'll try this. Let me dive into that and try that. And it was always wondering, and always changing and always doing work. I was doing 5 hours of practices every morning. Like you said, you had your rituals, right? Every single day. And when with Jesus, it's peace. It's just a knowing. And the only thing that, I'm fervent about is because I want more knowledge. I love it. And I want to talk about it. And I want to meet more people like you who understand. And I want to spread the truth. It's not the work anymore. It's not figuring it out. It's the knowing and just the genuine excitement about having this knowledge. Right?
So I relate to all of that. Yes. And there's no one truth in spirituality. So, just like angel numbers, how that's such a big thing. But you Google that, there's no one meaning because it's just made up stuff. So you can just kind of pick your own meaning. But whereas with Christ, there is one truth and you know it and it's clear and it's the peace is there instead of like working for your peace and hunting for it all the time and opening your mind and like the meditation and following your heart. That seems like it would be right, but we're supposed to guard our hearts. So it's just funny how everything is reversed and flipped on its head in reality.
But also, it's wrapped in such beauty, right? And such love. Everything is love, love and light, right? And mindfulness and clearing your mind. And I spoke so much about that. And I meditation, I was getting really, really into meditation. And I loved being able, I was so happy that I was getting to the point of being able to fully clear my mind. And now I realize how dangerous that is. Because if you empty your mind, you leave it open for the enemy to fill it with whatever they want to fill it with, whatever visions they want to give you, whatever knowledge they want to pour into your mind that is false. And that's why in the Bible it says to meditate on the word. Not that meditation is a bad thing, but meditate on the word and on him with your eyes on Jesus.
Wasn't that a revelation when you found that out? You're like, oh my gosh, like everyone is like, stop, like, because it's so, everyone thinks that's so good. And I thought that, but yeah.
And
So I
even
think that.
another one where my eyes have been opened recently is yoga. Oh my goodness. I just watched recently, there's another podcast called Heaven and Healing. Have you seen that one? She's amazing. And they just did a really long two-part episode on how yoga is demonic. Oh my gosh. I mean, I already knew that because it was part of like that immediate knowledge that was just poured into me that like I stopped doing everything immediately. I didn't really have like a transition period. It was like from one day to the next, I dropped it all. And I'm so
Me
grateful for
too.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I'm done. Got rid of everything, like done.
Done. And
Yeah.
so yoga though was one where I was like, wait a minute, isn't that just stretching? Isn't that just breathing? And I was like, wait, no, because I really through practicing yoga every day, I started to feel my chakras aligning. I was doing pranayama breath work, which is, breathing that life into you and opening yourself up and the raising your kundalini energy, kundalini yoga. And kundalini, the actual symbol for it is a snake going up your
Perfect.
spine.
Mine opened and it made me very feel things that, you know, it just, I don't know. That was dangerous for me to open. I mean, when my Kundalini, how do they say that it rises or?
And it feels so beautiful, and you are feel like you're achieving these goals along the way, and all you're doing is opening yourself up to demonic forces. That's exactly what you're doing. And in this special, which I'll link, this two-part podcast from Healing and or Heaven and Healing, they talk about the poses. They talk about the actual Hindu gods that you are praying to with each pose that you do. And when they show the images of these Hindu gods, these deities, they all have serpents. There's either one wrapped around their neck or wrapped around their arm. They're doing, there's fire. They're stepping on skulls. They're all like hermaphrodite, where they're half man, half woman. It looks demonic, and these are the actual gods that you are praying to when you do yoga. So it is not innocent. There is no innocent way to do yoga. Even if you don't believe that that's what you're doing, it is. Just by putting yourself in those positions, you are praying to these Hindu gods, and you're worshiping other gods. And that is what, isn't that the most important commandment? He said, like, don't put any other god before me. Do not worship other gods. You're just going directly, you're just falling right into the enemy's trap when you do yoga.
Yes, and it's important what you said. Even if you don't believe it, the spiritual laws still apply to you, whether you're aware of them or not. And that's one of the enemy's greatest, that's one of his greatest deceptions. You're still, even if you're doing it, you don't know. I mean, you're still opening yourself up, and people don't realize that.
It's just amazing the things that we don't know. Because we haven't read the Bible, or because we haven't allowed Jesus in. And that's the other thing. I think I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I just can't get off of it, is if you're not raised with Jesus, if you're not raised as a Christian, it is just so easy to fall into the enemy's trap. Because this is Satan's world, and everything around us is, he's put there to trap us. And if you're not protected by Jesus, if you're not going to church, if you're not having community with other Christians, and you're just consuming everything that's out there for us to consume, including food, but I'm also talking about media, news, the music and the movies and all the things that, because Hollywood is taken over by Satan, So all of these things that we're consuming every day, and we think it's no big deal, it's pulling us away from the truth. And it is very dangerous, because we're talking about eternal life. We're talking about your life literally being taken away because you're not being shown the truth and you deny Jesus. And the way that we, I want to get your opinion on this. I'm like, the way that I anyway grew up with like cringing when people would talk about Jesus. Like I was like, oh, I don't want it. Like you're weird, Jesus freak. We label them and we judge them and we are like turned off by it. And I think that's by design. I really do, right?
And I thought they were so judgy. I'm like, they're so judgmental, and I'm just open. I just had such misconceptions, and yeah, I would cringe too. And that's why I'd know to be on the other side. I'm like, well, they're gonna cringe at us, but I just try to, always keep it in the forefront, that it's okay. Jesus said he was hated, and we will be hated too. But like you said, eternal life is worth it. If they cringe and we're talking about eternal life and telling them the truth, I didn't even believe hell was real.
No,
That
I
was
didn't.
a huge,
I know.
everything, like that's really real. I thought it wasn't, like it was either made up or you just keep coming. I thought reincarnation, you keep coming back.
Yes,
So it
me
doesn't
too.
matter what you do.
Right, it doesn't matter. And I think that was a big step for me in opening my eyes and finally accepting the truth, was that I finally believed in evil. I believed that, that evil was real, because that's another thing in the New Age. You're kind of told that, like, oh no, there's no, everyone is good. Everyone's innately good. We all have good hearts. We just have trauma that needs to be healed. And this is the work you can do to heal your own trauma. Here's the list of things you could do. Not Jesus.
And you'll
No.
never be done.
Yeah,
So
you're
get
never
started.
done in this life, right? They would say that you chose the traumas that you wanted to experience in this life so that you could then heal from them and your soul could get the healing. But then when you reincarnate, you forget. So you have to start over, right? But there is no end. You just keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back. Honestly, that sounds awful.
I know. I would be like, I really don't want that because I like my life. I'm like, it's like playing Russian roulette. I'm like, I don't want, what are you going to get next time? I'm like, I
Right.
don't want that.
Oh,
Yeah. No,
yeah.
they told me I wasn't coming back anymore because my life path was 9. So I had like done all my life.
Oh
So
my
like, what?
gosh.
It all
Wow.
seems so silly. And it's just so, like, to see it for what it is quite an adventure. So just see like what we
Yeah.
felt. Or like how it's wrapped up and to be so good and so positive, so beautiful, like you said, and it's not.
Right. But at the same time, I think it's in the end, for us specifically, like he's taken something bad and turned it to good, and I think he is using both of us for very similar purposes, right? In sharing our stories, and in just praying to bring other people to Jesus and not being afraid to talk about it and to speak his name, because I was afraid in the beginning. I was afraid to come out as a Christian. I wasn't afraid to talk about meditation and yoga and all the other things I was doing, but I was afraid to come out as a Christian. I took a month long break from this podcast because I was so scared to tell the truth.
Because you knew how you felt when you heard it, and you knew how other people would receive it. Yeah.
I
Just
knew
try
I
to
was ready.
remember, too, that he's going to use us to. There's certain people who need to hear something exactly that we say. And, that's how I came to Christ was the video. So I just try to remember that if people are cringing, somebody at least, I mean, it's going to reach someone.
Yeah.
So.
And I think the cringing is the demons that are within you or the demonic forces within you that are
Yes.
cringing at the name of Jesus. That's what you're feeling,
Right. Because when I was praying to Jesus, I think it was a false Jesus. Because when I was confronted with the real Jesus, if I would go to church or if I was around the real Holy Spirit, I cringed. I just felt like I couldn't handle it because my demons on me were cringing because that's what makes them flee.
Right,
So yeah.
exactly.
And
Oh, it's amazing. I love how similar our stories are. And I'm just so like happy for you that you've been saved. And I thank you so much for your channel. I've learned so much from you. Just please continue to share. I pray that your channel gets bigger and bigger, and it's so huge already. Like, it's amazing how many people have seen your videos, and I just love it. I love watching it grow. And I would love, if you wanted to swap and have me on yours, I'd be happy to do that. So I guess I will link your YouTube in the description. Is there any other way people can get in touch with you or anything else you want to share?
No, that's the only way to get in touch. Oh, but my email is on my YouTube if anyone wants to reach out personally, because some people do that if they want to talk about it or pray for them. Yeah.
Yep, that's how
But
I
thank
got
you
in
so
touch with
much.
you.
Yeah, thank you so much though. And I want you on my channel too. So we will do that soon.
Awesome. Yeah, and I hope we can continue to be friends, outside of YouTube, because I feel like we've been cosmically connected. Oh, I shouldn't say it that way.
I know.
But God has brought us together to serve him,
Yeah,
and
praise
I
God.
hope that we can continue to help each other on that journey.
Me too. Thank you. Yes,
Yeah, thank you
definitely.
so much. And we'll talk soon. Thanks for being
Okay,
here.
thank you.